We have been in Hebrews 11, verse 32, and I can't remember when we weren't there. It's been a while. But we come to the end of verse 32, and there we looked at Samuel, the prophet, and Samuel will introduce David. David is the last one mentioned in verse 32, and we'll look at 1 Samuel 16. But Samuel the prophet has spoken for the Lord, and he's told Saul, "You have been rejected by God as being king over Israel." Now Saul was a natural choice, for he was head and shoulders taller than the average Israelite. But as we looked at his character last week, and we saw that he was no longer humble or small in his own eyes. Saul had got caught up in himself, and he became a man of failed opportunities. He failed in his faith, and he failed in obedience. And Saul, he reasoned away. He used excuses for being disobedient. Now, we have to be careful there, for we can fall into that same trap of using excuses. But Saul has been told by Samuel, God has rejected you as king. And now we find the prophet Samuel going to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to David's hometown. For Samuel, he's on a mission. He is to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the new king. Samuel, he sanctifies Jesse and his sons, and he invites them to a sacrifice that he's having. So we pick that up in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We pick it up in verse 6. So you might want to turn to 1 Samuel 16. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And he said, "There yet remains the youngest, and he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he has come here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes, good looking, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Samuel, he sees Eliab, and he concludes, this is surely God's chosen one. But God says, no, I see the heart, the character that is in Eliab. You don't see Samuel as I see. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We live in a world today, in a society, where we see people like actors who are known for pretending to be something else, and we look to them for political insight. Actors used to be called hypocrites. That was their title. And they would pass by and pretend to be something they weren't. But way too much influence in today's world is an actor who has political opinions. And that list goes on. How about rock stars? Oh, yeah. I sure want to hear what they have to say. And how about an athlete? This guy can shoot a basketball, so let's listen to him. Or this one can hit a baseball, so let's give him more credibility. But Scripture tells us, mankind looks upon the appearance and places men and women of no qualifications into positions of importance. I have someone I have fears of her becoming important. And she's on TV, and that's Oprah Winfrey. She has the ear of America's women, per se. But I kind of fear that woman. What if she got into politics? But moving, put all that aside. Moving through Jesse's sons. He's the father of these boys, and he calls each son to pass before Samuel, and that's seven of his sons, only to find that God has not chosen any of those seven. And so Samuel asks, are these all of your sons? Now Jesse, the father of David, replied, I still have one left. He's the youngest, he's the least, but he's out keeping the sheep. Samuel said, bring that one here, for we will not sit down till he comes. Now David comes, and he was ruddy. And that probably means he was a redhead. Excuse me. And he had bright eyes, alert, and he was good looking. And the Lord tells Samuel, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. Samuel, obedient to the Lord, takes a horn of oil and anoints David right there before Jesse, his father, and his seven other brothers. And notice that from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David. That's critical to understand that. David, the youngest, the least, but he is the one God has prepared. Now, we don't have a lot of examples in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit, but here is a very vivid example of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes upon David. We have in the Holy Spirit a threefold work that he brings about. He is the third person of the Trinity, but they're all based upon pronouns. We have with, in, and upon, describing the work of the Holy Spirit. Pronouns that tell us of the work of this Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with us in leading us to Christ. He comes with us. He urges us. He points out the goodness of Christ, and he leads us to Christ, and he leads us to salvation. Then the Holy Spirit, when we're born again, he comes into us. He indwells us. He is in us, in each and every believer, indwelling us as his Spirit. But notice David has an Acts 2 experience here. The Holy Spirit coming upon him, empowering David to be all God has called him to be. The upon experience for David is the same as the day of Pentecost. So, continuing in 1 Samuel 16, we go to verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let your master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful player of the harp, and it shall be that when he plays it with his hand, then the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide me for this man, and who can play well, and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp, play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Notice there we have God sending a spirit that depresses Saul. It's not a spirit of God, but it is a spirit from God. And that's critical to understand. And this troubling spirit distresses Saul. All the evilness of demons and Satan are still controlled by God. God still controls them, and he uses them for his purposes. And the servants of Saul, they have a remedy. Get this young man who can play the harp, and it will soothe your spirit, Saul. Seek out this man, a skillful musician on the harp. And when that distressing spirit comes, let the musician play and soothe your soul, Saul. David happens to be that skillful player of the harp. And notice the servant's opinion. Saul's servants have a good opinion of David. And that's in verse 18. The son of Jesse is skillful in playing. He's a good musician. He is a mighty man of valor. David already has a reputation. He's a man that's familiar with war. He's a warrior. And he's prudent in speech. He knows how to talk in a public setting. And he's a handsome young man. And note, the Lord is with him. And so Saul sends for David. David comes to Saul, and he brings the gifts on a donkey that his father has prepared, and of the gifts of bread and wine. And Saul is impressed, and we read Saul loves David. And he makes David his personal armor bearer. That's a high position of honor. And whenever this distressing spirit comes, David would play his harp, and Saul would become refreshed and become well. And then the distressing spirit would leave him. David is in the king's court. David is becoming familiar with the king's household and so forth. And David is in the process right now of being prepared to be king. And God is using him right there in Saul's court. David, a harp player, is there to refresh Saul and make a troubled king well. But at this time, the Israelis are at war with the Philistines, and the Philistines have a hero, and it's Goliath. He's a giant. He's 9 feet tall, and that's a giant. And he's coming out into the valley that separates Israel from the Philistines, and Goliath challenges Israel, and he challenges their God. So let's turn to chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, and we'll go through this chapter. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah and Ephes-Damin. And Saul and his men of Israel were gathered together and encamped in the valley Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on one mountain, and on the other side Israel stood on a mountain with a valley between them. We have here a valley that is separating the two armies. Israel's on one mountain, Philistines are on the other. And Goliath would walk down into the valley each and every day, and he taunts Israel, and he taunts their God. He is a champion, and he went out from the camp of the Philistines. His name is Goliath, because he's from Gath, and his height was 6 cubits and a span. That's 9 to 10 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David will hear this challenge, and he will hear a challenge from a giant. And along with the armies of Israel, including Saul, the entire army of Israel is afraid. And then we transfer over to the scene over to David. Now, David was a son of Ephraimite of the Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul in the battle. The names of the 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, and the firstborn, and next to him was Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. Jesse has 3 brothers that are in this army of Saul's, and they're all extremely frightened. Everybody is afraid, and with reason. King Saul, Goliath is 10 feet tall, and he's a warrior, a mighty warrior. And even Saul, who is head and shoulders above the average Israelite, he is also afraid of Goliath. But David, he occasionally would return from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Goliath continues his verbal assault for 40 days in the morning, and at the night, he's telling, "Come, give me a man to fight. We'll settle this battle one-on-one, me and your warrior." And then Jesse said to his son David, verse 17, "Take now for your brothers an ephod of this dried grain, 10 loaves of bread, and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news to me." Jesse, back at home, wants to know, how the battle is going between the Philistines and between Israel. Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with his keeper, and took the things and went to Jesse as he had been commanded. And he came to the camp of the army and was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistine had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army. And he came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. David hears for himself Goliath's challenge. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that this man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter and our wife and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Yeah, it was good not to pay taxes then too. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David wants to know what will be done for the man who kills this giant. Well, first he'll be given the king's daughter in marriage and no taxes. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Fear and stress has brought forth David's brothers' true feelings. They do not look upon David as God's anointed. And David has a reply, and he says, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is it not this Philistine chastising us before our God?" David realizes his brother's feelings towards him. "What have I done now that you, my brothers, do not like me?" David is well aware of the fact that his brothers do not like him. Then he turned from him towards another and said to the same thing, and the people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they were reported them to Saul, and Saul sends for him. Saul hears about David's words, and he wants to talk to David. And then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And this man has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear would come and he would take a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David understands this is more than just Israel against the Philistines. There is God's honor involved here. And David now reveals how God has prepared him for this very day. God has been at work in his life. And here's what David has to say. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Saul is left with no choices. There's no one in Israel who is willing to fight Goliath. And Goliath keeps making these taunts of his against Israel. But Saul wants to clothe David with all his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on him, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested him. David said to Saul, I cannot even walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took a staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came, and he began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field. But David has a reply, and David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord of hosts does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. David has boasted, but he's boasted of his God, the God of Israel. And David runs, not away from Goliath, but he runs towards Goliath. A tremendous act of faith in God. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Now that's a mighty stone sunk down into his forehead. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his own sword out and drew it out of the sheath, killed him, and cut off his head with it. And the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. Here we have a young shepherd prevailing by faith over a giant, Goliath. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine as far as the entrance of the valley of the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shechem even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistine, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his own tent. And when David saw, when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of his army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this David is." Peculiar that Saul would not even know that David was the one who played the harp before him. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And so David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite." David, the warrior, is the harp player. He's the musician of faith. And Saul learns again who David is. David is a great man of faith. Of all David's behavior, he was a mighty warrior amongst it. David, he will go on. David will commit sins that are grievous towards the Lord. But David was also a man of faith. And that's why he's mentioned in Hebrews 11:32. He is a man who trusted, believed in God, obedient to God, and he was a man of faith towards God. So, are all the Davids dead? We all come to places where our faith is tested. We have that position. We have that time when everybody else's faith doesn't matter. It's what do I believe and what am I obedient to? And we all come to them. David's brothers didn't think he was anybody special, even though they had seen Samuel anoint him. David was special because he had faith. Faith in the living God. He had a living relationship with the living God. God's Spirit is upon him, and David acted in great faith. And that's why we read about him in Hebrews 11. One of my great desires is that I will be known as a man of faith. I want to be known as a man who trusts the living God. Now, God hasn't called me to defend his honor like David was called to, but God does look for faith in each and every one of us. So, show yourself faithful to your living God. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, you have called us to yourself. And just as you were David's help, you were his deliverer when he stood up and defied Goliath, ran towards him to slay him. Lord, we're all familiar with this story, but don't let it escape us that David trusted in you to deliver Goliath into his hands, and you were faithful. Lord, we all come upon our giants. We all come upon our times where we must trust and hope in you, and you alone are sufficient to give us that faith that we need. So, Lord, as your disciples said, increase our faith. We pray, Lord God, increase our faith. Help us to stand strong in a world that is opposed to you, Lord. When those who do not know you come against your name, may we be a defender of you, our Lord. So, capture our hearts, Lord. And we read about David, a giant killer. And Lord, it's more than just a story. It's more than a myth. It's reality as David went against Goliath. Help us to come against those that oppose you and those that need a testimony of our faith in you, our living God. So help us, Lord. Help us to be men and women of faith. And we pray for this and ask it in your name, Jesus.